The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Whether you're a pistachio purist who loves the experience of cracking them open, or you love the convenience of no-shell pistachios like myself, Wonderful Pistachios is the perfect healthy snack for when hunger strikes. And there are a bunch of tasty flavors to choose from too, like honey roasted, smoky barbecue, jalapeno lime, and more. Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Welcome back to another episode of Paper Route. I'm Corey Holmes, and you know I'm with the squad, Ashley Nicole Moss and Brandon Marshall. Man, we got another dope episode for y'all. And actually, speaking of dope episode, if you haven't yet, you must check out our episode with Joy Taylor. That is on our I Am Athlete channel. And be sure to subscribe, man. It was a great conversation there. But yeah, man, great show today. We're going to talk Steph Curry. He saved the Warriors this weekend in their home win over the Bucks, and there was a huge trade this weekend too by involving a guy by the name of Jalen Ramsey. But first, how was y'all weekend, y'all? I know Brandon, you had a pretty eventful weekend. Tell us about it.
Definitely. I talked for probably about 6-7 hours. I had an opportunity to MC the RX3 second annual celebrity quarterback flag football game. I mean, you had Josh Allen out there and, of course, Aaron Rodgers. And I got to say, Corey, that was my first time seeing Aaron Rodgers, you know, that close throwing the ball, right? Like, I played in Chicago, so I played against him twice a year. I saw him in warm-ups, but, you know, they're on one side, I'm on the other side. When they're up, I'm on the sideline, I'm looking at plays, I'm on the bench. But to literally be – you know, a foot or two away from him when he was throwing the ball, I got to say, man, it was like watching a ballerina. Mm. That's what it was like, man. Not a dancer, a ballerina. It's a big difference, right? Yeah. I've been saying this for a few years now, that he's the greatest thrower of the football, and it just validated things for me. Mm. It was just effortless, man. It was just poetry in motion.
Yeah, we actually had a clip of you guys' conversation. How about we take a look at it?
How was it meeting Woody Johnson? How was that meeting?
Oh, that was you know, it's always interesting meeting important figures in the sport. Yeah, it's always interesting. That's all I'm giving.
I'm just there now.
That's all I'm giving.
Hey, Rod.
A little bit of chemistry here.
Brooklyn? What we doing? Hey, Rod.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned? How long we got to wait?
Well, I think it won't be long. There's a time limit for all this.
Can I break the news?
All right, Brandon, like, what's your gut say? Like, what's Aaron Rodgers' decision? When will we get a decision from him?
Ashley, Corey, I think it happens today. Today is the start of the new league year. Well, you know what? I wouldn't say today. I think it's going to happen within 48 hours. So right now, things are open from a free agency standpoint where teams can now negotiate with free agents, right? So you have the Garoppolos out there, and I mean, it's not a extremely attractive list outside of Aaron Rodgers. Derek Carr is already gone. So these quarterbacks that could potentially find a new home, you know, they can start negotiating on a contract. So Aaron Rodgers is putting the Green Bay Packers and the Jets in a tough situation right now if they don't get it done within the next 24, 48 hours. I think the only option for Aaron – there's two options for Aaron Rodgers. It's retire, and I think that's a real possibility. And everyone keeps talking about $60 million. I get that. But this event that we were just at, RX3, they're a big venture firm. They do amazing things in business, and Aaron's a partner there. Aaron, you know, he's a part owner of the Bucks. I mean, money is not a problem for Aaron Rodgers. Obviously, it's going to be hard anywhere else in the world to go recoup $60 million. But I think this dude is on a totally different like level. You know, when I was sitting there talking to him and we start talking about self-love and, you know, the world, like this dude is deep. He's on like a spiritual journey. This is the type of dude that walks away from $60 million and go lives in a tent or go in a dark darkness retreat. You had Ricky Williams do it. So what I think happens is he either retires within the next 48 hours or he goes to the Jets. I don't see the Oakland Raiders coming in and making a big splash here. I think the Jets is the destination, Ashley.
Yeah, Ashley, what you think? And how soon will we get a decision from him?
Yeah, I mean, I think that if there is a decision that's going to be made, it's going to be relatively quickly. I think last season, you know, Aaron Rodgers kind of dragged his feet on what the outcome of, you know, his decision then was going to be. And I think that that left a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths. We talk about the Green Bay Packers often and the lack of chemistry that seemed that they had together. I think a lot of that can be attributed to the fact that Aaron Rodgers did take a really long time to go ahead and make a decision. He didn't show up to OTAs. He didn't really go ahead and start building that camaraderie with his young receiving core because he was dragging his feet on making a decision, or at least making that decision public. He probably knew what he was going to do prior to the public knowing, but he didn't go ahead and share that with the rest of the world, his peers, and that kind of, you know, we talk about the Davante Adams situation. Maybe that situation unfolds differently if he knew Aaron Rodgers was coming back to Green Bay. So I don't think that he can go ahead and do the same thing twice. So I do think that you'll see a much different formula from him in terms of making a decision, making it quickly. But I agree. I think it's either going to be retirement. You know, the Jets sounds nice, but again, you know, we spoke about this last show when it came, when DeSean Jackson was on here. It's going to be, in my opinion, I just don't know if Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback in this part of his career that's willing to go ahead and develop a young core of receivers, just like he wouldn't do that in Green Bay, the franchise he's existed in for so many years. So if he is going to go ahead and be willing to do that and has done some self-searching and wants to be a different type of quarterback, type of leader rather, at this point in his career, the Jets probably would be the best option. If not, he needs to retire. It's simple as that.
Corey, there's a few things here, right? When you think about guys playing this long, having so much success, Aaron Rodgers is 39, you know, a couple MVPs, Super Bowl champion. At the end of the day, the guy is going to go down, obviously, as a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's going to be one of the greatest players, not only in football, but in sports, right? He really is that dynamic. He's special. And when you're in this situation, you know, you're still chasing money. He has money. You could be chasing, you know, accolades. I don't think he's that type of guy, you know, that's trying to catch like a Tom Brady. Obviously, that's even impossible at this stage of his career. But I don't think it's about that for him. I really believe this dude is like damn near transcending into or transforming into a monk. I really believe that. But competition, like the love of the game, keeps you around. And being out there this weekend, like, he was competing. This was 7-on-7. We had a high school football player on my team. I ended up playing on DTR's team. DTR's in the NFL draft. He was the quarterback for UCLA. Now he'll probably go, you know, end of the first, maybe second round. He was out there, and I was on his team. And we had this young high school football player that was just he was really spicy. And Aaron Rodgers got in his face towards the end. T.O. came out. T.O., of course, soon as T.O. came out, things just got heated. T.O. immediately start arguing with everybody, pushing kids down, like literally high school kids to the ground. And then Aaron Rodgers got feisty. And I saw that. And then also, I was on a mic all day, so I was just talking trash. I was talking about his darkness retreat. You know, I was challenging him. It was pretty fun. And then when I got out there, because he was just chopping up everybody, and I played safety, and I start talking trash, he start talking trash. Brandon, I owned you. How many years you played for the Chicago Bears? How many times have I played you? How many times did you win? I owned you, Brandon. So he's talking to me, bro.
Yeah, he sound like he still got that competitive nature.
And look, and then he took my material, used it against me. I'm out there. I'm like, yeah, I never played. You know, I never played it in the playoffs. Played 13 years. Blah 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 blah. So when I got out there on defense, I started talking trash. He gets loud. 13 years, you never made it to the playoffs. Why are you talking? You've been talking all day. And the cool thing about that for me was the compete, bro. Like, it doesn't matter what you do. You know, if you still have that in you, you want to get that out, right? Business isn't going to get – well, business can, but it's in a different way. There's nowhere else in the world where Aaron Rodgers would be able to express that and get that out. So I think Aaron Rodgers is probably more than likely going to play. It's going to be for the Jets, and it's going to be in 48 hours.
We'll see. We will see. Well, I had a question for you guys, too, because, you know, the latest reports have said that the trade is essentially done, right? We're just waiting on an Aaron Rodgers decision at this point. Now, let's say they do end up trading, right, Aaron Rodgers to the Jets. What do you think the Packers are going to get in return?
Ashley, you want to start there?
No, you got it. Go ahead.
What is he going to get? What are they going to get in return? I mean, look, I think there's a dance being played right now. Like you said, I believe you said that. I halfway listening, damn. I was drinking my Celsius. But the deal is pretty much done. We were out there. We were hearing that he could potentially break the news that day. Like, I thought we were going to break the news this week, and it was going to go. He was going to go to the Jets. That didn't happen. Obviously, everything's going to be on Aaron's terms. I think that the game is, why would I give up two or three first rounders, or why would I give up a first and two twos when we may be in this position next year? So the Jets have to be really careful here. They can't mortgage the future for 1 year. And I know Woody really wants to win a Super Bowl. They're hungry there. That fan base is hungry. They're so close. They really are. It's not just a really good defense. This is a legendary defense. This can be a legendary defense, man, the way they played last year. And you bring in a guy like that, he's going to even make them even better, right? Because now they're going to be playing with the lead. Just imagine what those defensive linemen are going to do then when they pin their ears back. Imagine how those defensive backs are going to play with even more swagger. So I think if I'm the Jets, I'm looking at a one, maybe a player, a one and maybe a third, but I can't give up multiple ones. Yeah. I can't do that. No, Corey.
Yeah, they got something special building. Yeah, so that was the thought of mine. No, I really wanted to see, you know, what we'll do there. But all right. We're going to move on. So we have an update in the Ja Morant situation, right? And unfortunately, I wouldn't say it's good news. It's definitely bad news, I'd say, for Ja's pockets. Now, according to Sports Illustrated, right, Powerade pulled its ads featuring Ja Morant. And after the Memphis Grizzlies suspended him, you know, for the incident in Denver. Now, it's unclear at the moment whether or not the company has severed ties completely, but Powerade has stripped Morant's likeness from their website. Now, just days before Morant's incident in, you know, the strip club in Denver, he had signed a multi-year endorsement deal with Powerade. So, and company execs even went to the extent to tell Bloomberg that Morant was going to be the face of the biggest marketing campaign in Powerade's 36-year history. That's just so unfortunate. But Ashley, I want to start with you first. Will Ja Morant bounce back from all of this?
Yeah, I mean, listen, he's 23 years old. He didn't kill somebody. He didn't do something so just egregiously damaging to his career that he can't overcome it. You know, if you, we talk about, you know, the OGs in the NBA often, and this is not to go ahead and justify what Ja did, but it's nothing the league hasn't seen or heard about. It's just social media wasn't prevalent back then, so the rest of the world didn't know. But if you don't think Steven Jackson and those guys were in the strip clubs doing things and getting into some trouble, then you're mistaken. It's just that social media wasn't around, TMZ didn't exist, and everything wasn't under a microscope. Now, it's unfortunate the ad was pulled because he was the part of the revamp of Powerade. You know, Powerade was off the market for a while. You couldn't really, it wasn't really moving and shaking like it once did. And he was supposed to be part of reviving that. So it is unfortunate the ad was pulled. As of right now, he's still endorsed by Powerade. We're just not seeing the ad, you know, circulating like it was, you know, up a couple of days leading up to the incident. But listen, actions have consequences, whether good or bad. And, you know, this is a direct consequence to a really stupid decision. Now, is it something that's going to prevent him from moving forward and prevent him from becoming, you know, the basketball player that he was projected to be and he was on the trajectory to be, both on and off the court in terms of endorsements and things like that? No. But he has to go ahead and you know, do some real soul searching and go ahead and, you know, take real inventory of the people around him and the decisions that he's making as an individual. Because while he's young, 23 is still a young guy, and I think a lot of us have done stupid things in our early 20s, he's still old enough to know better. And I think that two things can be true. We talk about this often, or at least I talk about this often. It doesn't negate that he made a stupid decision, doesn't negate that he risked everything that he's worked his entire life for, but it also doesn't negate that he's young and he made a mistake, and there may be some underlying issues that caused him to make that mistake and caused him to find, you know, solace or rather comfort in things like drinking and partying and, you know, doing those things so excessively to mask something else. So I think two things can be true. But Ja Morant, you know, he's going to get a second chance, and you just hope that with that second chance, he takes it seriously and moves accordingly and moves as the brand and the business that is Ja Morant and makes better decisions. And that's really all you can hope for.
Corey, I think this, man, he'll bounce back, but it definitely will cost him. We talked about this last week, and I said, I lost $100 million in career earnings because of my 20s, right? Like how I responded to certain things in my 20s and just being immature. Now, everybody's case is different. You know, Jaw didn't hurt anybody like Ashley said, but they're looking for mature players to invest in. I've never seen an NBA player or face of the NBA or the face of the NFL get in trouble, right? Now, do they do things that we just don't know about? Absolutely. But when you think about the guys who are making the most money right now off the court, LeBron James, Steph Curry, Giannis, Dame Lillard, Zion Williamson, Luka, right? These guys, they're not coming with that type of baggage. So unfortunately, Jaw's going to pay a price, and it's going to be expensive. You go to the NFL, Tom Brady retires, but Tom Brady's one of those guys that was doing extremely well off the field. Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson, Dak Prescott, J.J. Watt before he retired. He had a stint where he was pretty much the face of the NFL for some time and made some money. You'll see Travis Kelce probably be one of the top faces of the NFL because of what he did last year, and even that SNL skit that was legendary for him, and that was a big move for him. These guys aren't getting in trouble, right? Think about that. When you invest in people, you're investing in people expecting that they're going to, you know, mitigate some risks. You're expecting that you know, they're not going to blow the bag. Like, think about how much money Powerade just lost, right? So they said they were investing, what, $10 million into this campaign. That campaign's now on hold. They have yearly goals in place. When you sit down as a company in November and December, what you're looking at is, what are we going to do in Q1, Q2, Q3, Q4? We got to hit these goals to stay on track. You got people, investors, and different people that you have to answer to. So now they're expecting Ja Morant to come out and have this amazing campaign and actually help them push their brand forward, because they've been non-existent for damn near 10, 15 years, it feels like. They tried back in the day with Chris Johnson when 2K was going for 2K, but that didn't revitalize the brand. Now they're back at it again. So how are they going to get these products off the shelf? They're not. So not only do they have to shelve this $10 million campaign, but they're also going to look at a quarter or two where there's going to be no movement for them. So this is a big deal. So you got brands that are losing opportunities, not only Powerade, but also Nike. You don't think Nike had big plans for Ja in the playoffs? Or what if he made it to the finals? You don't think he had plans for Ja then in the brand? Even if he does make it, they're not going to run with that. Yeah. So this is a big deal.
Nike hasn't stopped production on his shoes.
They haven't stopped production, but you're not going to see no big ad coming out.
I mean, it already came out, though.
But I'm saying playoffs. I said the future. I'm talking about the finals. Yeah, I'm talking about moving forward. Look, he'll rebound from this, but it's going to cost him big. And look, I'm a player that lost a lot of money, and you mentioned some of the OGs in the past. Guys do things, and when you get caught, you know, you have to pay the price. He'll be okay, but it's going to take him a couple years to enter back into that room and that discussion of will he be the face of the NBA again.
Well, hopefully he bounces back. All right, moving on. It was a blockbuster trade in the NFL yesterday. So Sunday, the Miami Dolphins traded former All-Pro cornerback Jalen Ramsey. The Rams are reportedly receiving a 2023 third-round draft pick and tight end Hunter Long in return. Now, it's important to note Wednesday when the new league year begins is when this trade will, you know, become official. Now, Jalen Ramsey notably helped the Rams to a Super Bowl title 2 years ago after he was acquired in what was then a blockbuster trade from the Jacksonville Jaguars. Brandon, I got to ask you first, what should we expect from Miami's defense next year? Because I'll tell you what, I'm expecting nothing less than the best defense in the NFL. What you think?
You know what? It's not about the Miami Dolphins defense. It's about the team. They have playmakers all over the place, right? Like, when you have playmakers like this, you could give a little bit in a run game. You can even give a little bit in a passing game, right? Like, I was watching these old clips from the playoffs, Deion Sanders versus Michael Irvin last night. And, you know, it was a battle out there. It was like two heavyweights getting after it. Deion was getting the best of Mike in the first, and then in the second quarter, you had Michael Irvin kind of get off a little bit, caught a comeback, caught a slant, caught a back shoulder, and then you see Troy Aikman throw this pick. He overthrew him, and he got a pick, right? Mm-hmm. So I say that because when you have a guy like Jalen Ramsey, and then you still have Howard over there, it'd be interesting to see if they keep both of them. But when you have those guys, you can give a little bit because what you're expecting is they're going to change the game. Those guys, within a second or two, can change the outcome of any type of run, any type of game. So I'm excited to see how they show up as a team collectively. On the offense, lights out. Tua, if he stays healthy, I mean, they can score at will. They can score any moment, right? We're talking about this RPO. You got these guys that catch a slant or smoke route. They take it the distance. We're talking about 30, 40 yards out. They can go on long, extended drives, 10-play drives, 11-play drives, 12-play drives, methodical football. And then on the defensive side, you got dudes that can pin their ears back and get after the quarterback. And then Jalen Ramsey not only picking the ball off, but what he also does, stripping the ball. This is going to be interesting. I don't think that they're going to be a top-five defense, but they're definitely be great, right? Meaning, like, turnovers.
You think they're not going to be top-five?
I mean, you got the 49ers, you got the Jets, right? Like, you got some guys out there that, you know, some units out there that really does some special things. Even the Patriots. Don't sleep on the Patriots. Don't sleep on the Saints. Don't sleep on the Saints defense, bro.
The Patriots will not have a better defense than the Miami Dolphins. No chance.
You historically speaking, I'm talking about the now.
You think the Patriots defense next year is going to be better than Miami Dolphins defense?
Let me look up these stats right now. Let's see why you continue. Let's see how they stacked up last year from a team standpoint. So defense yards allowed last year.
Yeah, we're going to need the stats because right? A defense with Xavier Howard on one side, Jalen Ramsey on the other. You got Chubb coming off the edge. You got Jalen Phillips coming off the edge. There's no reason. There's no reason why they don't have at least the best defense in the AFC East.
In the AFC East. So last year they were, you know, middle of the pack, the Miami Dolphins. Where were the Patriots? The Patriots was right there. You know, look, I like a well-coached defense. A lot of times you got to – it's not always about, you know, the star players, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's just about the unit. And, you know, look, I'm not saying that the Patriots will be better, but I think they'll be probably better coached. That's not even a discussion. Who cares about that, right? Like, for me, I think where Jalen is going to really impact this team is in practice, you know, and I think we'll talk about that a little later. You know, just that juice. The attitude, the swagger, and then obviously on game day, but I think it's going to be more from a big play standpoint because if I'm really being honest, like Jalen hasn't been a lockdown corner over the last 2-3 years. He hasn't. He's been giving up a lot. You know, go back to the Super Bowl, he gave up a lot, right? But he makes a play. That's the difference, right? Like you may catch a slant. You may catch a touchdown or two on him, but then when the game's on the line and you throw it his way, it's going probably go the other way. Mm-hmm. And that's where I think he's going to make the biggest impact on that team.
Ashley, what are your thoughts? What are you expecting from Miami's defense?
I mean,
next
the
year?
Dolphins are loaded. And it's funny because Trayvon Diggs and I yesterday on Twitter were going back and forth, and we're sick about it, obviously. Yeah. I mean, not that the Cowboys don't have a sensational defense, but it's like Micah chimed in, and they just keep getting everybody. Like, and I just feel like also, listen, let's call it what it is. The Rams walked away on a losing end of this deal, but I think that they kind of sold their soul for that Super Bowl, and they, in the back of their mind, had to know they were not going back. You know what I mean? It was kind of like that, you know, that shooting star that happens once every couple of decades or something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not going back to the Super Bowl anytime soon. So maybe they're in the mindset of just kind of, you know, now we got to rebuild. Now we got to focus on what the future looks like. I think that it's unfortunate because I think that Matthew Stafford, you know, when he joined the LA Rams, envisioned multiple wins and multiple championships, and that's why he left the Lions in the first place. But, you know, things unfold how they unfold in the NFL, and it's constantly evolving and it's constantly moving. I think that Jalen's going to be a great asset to the Miami Dolphins. Like I said, they're stacked. I feel like from both ends of the game. And also, I mean, he wants to be there. You know, he spoke about it on Twitter. You know, he's been praying for this, you know, for whatever reason. He was unhappy with, you know, his role or his time now in, you know, in LA, and he wanted out. And, you know, he now is in an environment where he's happier. And we've seen this before in multiple sports. We've seen it in basketball. We've seen it in football. Sometimes when a player leaves a situation that they're not happy in, and they go to a new environment, especially in an environment they want to be in. They're not traded someplace that they did not want to go. They actually got their wish, and they're in the place that they wanted to be in. It's kind of like you see the Phoenix rising from the ashes, essentially, right? You get to see this new revived version of them. The basketball comparison I can make to that is like Derrick Rose. Derrick Rose was in Detroit, and people said his career was over. He was almost sent there to die in terms of, you know, his career. And he comes to New York, and it's a brand new Derrick Rose. He's happy. He's dropping crazy numbers. He's a big part of you know, guiding that young core. And I think the same thing will happen with Jalen Ramsey. I think that he'll be in the situation here in Miami. He wants to be here. He's been praying for it, thinking about it. And I think you'll see a lot more productivity from him than we have seen in the last few years, which it's a fair assessment that he hasn't been the Jalen Ramsey that people are accustomed to seeing, but that could be tied to he didn't want to be there anymore. So we'll see.
Yeah. Well, guys, let's stay on this same topic. We're actually going to transition, though, to a segment we call Word on the Tweet.
Word on the Tweet.
Yeah. You know, this is where we'll, you know, we grabbed a couple tweets on a timeline, and we're just going to share our thoughts on it. But like I said, we're going to stay in the same topic. So our first tweet is from our guy Jalen Ramsey, right? So obviously in response to everything that had happened this weekend, he tweeted a tweet where it was a video actually of a Lil Yachty performing on stage. It was just to, you know, kind of put a finger on the excitement he had, you know, from this weekend. But if you see, Tyreek Hill quote retweeted and said, "If you hit me like you did in that flag game, we fighting." And then next, right, we have the Hard Rock Sportsbook. They actually did a great job including it was a video, but we screenshotted the tweet, and it's Jalen Ramsey just laying out Tyreek Hill. But look, Tyreek Hill responded to that and said, "Practice is going to be crazy now." Now, I wanted to ask you, Brandon.
Yeah.
Who's winning these practice battles, right? Like, you got Jalen Ramsey, you got Tyreek Hill going at each other in practice. Who's winning?
Well, Tyreek easily wins these battles if Tua is on point. When you're going against a really good corner, a wide receiver can get open. We have the advantage. We know where we're going. Now you're talking about one of the fastest wide receivers in the league, maybe even ever, and one of the quickest and so dynamic, okay? When you get open, the ball needs to be on time, because some of these guys, like their makeup speed or how they respond and react, you know, it doesn't leave you a lot of room to actually recover if the quarterback is throwing it, you know, behind you, or if it's low or if it's high. So if Tua is on point or whoever the hell the quarterback is, Tyreek Hill will easily win this matchup. That's not kind of like Jalen's game, you know, it's the guard like a Tyreek. Yeah. Across, like, you're going to guard Tyreek for 4 seconds? Are you kidding me? Right? What I'm excited to watch from a practice standpoint is how heated it gets, right? Because Tyreek, you know, there's a lot of respect. Obviously, they're starting off on a good note right here, tweeting and having fun with it. But when you get in practice as a wide receiver, you don't want guys to touch you. So just imagine, you know, you go out there, you go get the ball,
And then all of a sudden, Jalen comes, punch the ball out hard because there's fans out there. Now mm-hmm. he just got there. He's the new biggest shiny investment. So he's trying to show not only people in the stands, but he's trying to show his teammates and the general manager who stand on the field, like, yo, your investment, this was a great investment. Let me show you what you got. So mm-hmm. if Tyreek is getting off in practice, he's going to be physical. He's going to take his game to a whole other point. I did this with Champ Bailey. Mm-hmm. I did this with Darrell Revis, yeah. Antonio Cromartie, Charles Peanut Tillman. When you have two lions, you know, in that type of environment, it's going to get heated. Now, will it spill over into the locker room? Probably not. But I can see them having a lot of fun, but I can see some moments where they get after and may have to be pulled apart.
Yeah, no, me too. Who you got, Ashley? Who you think winning these battles? The Cheetah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'd say so too, but we'll see. I mean, I'd love to attend a couple Miami Dolphins practices now. Yeah.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Discover why critics are calling Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes the best film of the franchise.
What a wonderful day!
It's a jaw-dropping spectacle that demands to be seen on the biggest screen possible.
We need to go.
Hang on.
It is our time.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, now playing only in theaters. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, but all right, so we're going to stay with another Tyreek Hill tweet, right? So for our next tweet, I had to dig this one up a little bit. But last month, Tyreek Hill tweeted, "I'm the best hooper in the league," right, referring to the NFL. And then we have Cowboys receiver CeeDee Lamb quote retweeting it saying, "Cap," right? So question, guys, who is your NFL starting five? If you had to, like, make a basketball team of NFL players, who you got?
DK Metcalf.
Yeah, he's a good one.
CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee can hoop.
Okay.
You know who also can hoop, and it may be surprising to some people? Dak Prescott has a really good jump shot.
That's all right.
There was a video circulating that, like, he was shooting nonstop, and if he shot 20 shots, he made at least 18 of them. Jeez. Like, he can shoot. So I'm going Dak. I'm going CeeDee. I'm going DK Metcalf. Let me try to think. I'm going Odell Beckham.
Let
me see. Who can
I think y'all missing an obvious one, man. You know who's my center? Miles Garrett. That boy can hoop.
I'd say
of the NFL players I've seen on social media, Miles Garrett got to be one of the better.
I would probably take someone like a T. Higgins.
Yeah.
Or Travis Kelce. I'm not taking Miles.
I don't say who you got in the paint though. You got to have somebody in the paint.
You don't have to have anybody in the paint. This is 3-and-D anymore. You can go with a small roster.
This is a positionless starting five. Yeah, I'm going DK Metcalf. I'm going CeeDee Lamb. I'm going Dak Prescott. I'm going Odell Beckham. And I'm going – I'll probably take, like, T. Higgins.
Right, small ball.
This is a tough one. I got Tyreek for sure. During Pro Bowl weekend, I was out in Vegas, and they had a celebrity basketball game, and dude can really hoop. Mm-hmm. I mean, not only does he have handles and – you know, explosive off the ball, but he also has a J. Like, he can really hoop. Diggs can hoop, not Trayvon. Trayvon looked like some trash out there. It looked really bad. It's like, no, this dude can't be the Trayvon that I know. Stephon.
Stephon, I'm going to go with him. He can hoop. Competitive, plays really good D, savvy on that side. But also he can get to the basket. He makes plays. So I'm going to go with Tyreek. I'm going to go with Travis Kelce. I'm going to go with Stephon Diggs, not Trayvon Diggs. Mm-hmm. And the final two, I kind of – like Myles Garrett, I mean, he could be a guy. He could be a hustle guy. Man, I wish we can go all time, because if we went all time, I'm going with Antonio Gates, Jimmy Graham, Julius Gonzalez, Thomas.
Right? Wasn't he a good hooper?
You got who?
Tony Gonzalez, wasn't he a hooper?
Tony Gonzalez, all those guys. Mm-hmm. Like, there's some monsters out there. So I can't give you a five. I got the three for you. Can we just do that?
All right, well, who are you filling in if I am giving you all time players?
Oh, all time players. I got it right here. Antonio Gates, mm-hmm. Jimmy Graham. Julius Peppers.
I was just going to mention that.
I would go with Pep. Okay. I would go with Pep one overall out of all, you know, old timers. But Antonio Gates was smooth out there as well.
Yeah,
Kent State, I believe.
That'd actually be a good team right there. All right, moving on to our next tweet. So we got a tweet from Adam Schefter. So Deron Payne actually made history this weekend for becoming the second highest paid D-tackle in NFL history. That's second to Aaron Donald. But he signed for a four-year, $90 million deal, right? That's including $60 million guaranteed. But the conversation here is really about Marlon Humphrey's quote retweet to this. He said, "Adam, we want Lamar Jackson news only. Please and thank you," right? So now this is about Lamar, guys. What do you want to happen for Lamar? I mean, this week is probably a week we could hear some updates. But aside from that, what do you guys want to happen for Lamar?
Yeah, so for me, I want to see Lamar paid, point blank, period. I don't care if it's by way of the Baltimore Ravens or the New York Football Jets. The Jets don't get a deal done with Aaron Rodgers. I think they should go all in on Lamar Jackson, right? Like, he's on a non-exclusive franchise tag, which means teams on the 15th can sign him. And then the Baltimore Ravens will have 5 days to match that offer and get the deal done with him. But if you go back into the days when people were in had these opportunities or in these positions, they would put a poison pill. They call them poison pills. They put poison pills in these contracts. So the New York Jets can come out and say, you know what, we're going to go all in on Lamar, okay? And we're going to put together an offer that Baltimore can't even match. Like, I don't understand why this isn't a thing right now and why it's not getting talked about more. Like, so many more teams should be in on a Lamar Jackson sweepstakes. If I'm the New York Jets, I'm looking at, man, I can actually invest in this guy. It's probably not going to cost me $60 million. I'll give up my, you know, two first rounders. And then I got a guy for the next 7 years, 8 years. Why wouldn't you do this? Why wouldn't you do this? So, to me, I want Lamar Jackson to get paid by the New York Jets if the Jets don't get it done with Aaron Rodgers. That's where I'm at.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody wants to see Lamar get paid at this point. I feel like the situation with Baltimore has kind of gone on long enough. And, you know, when you play the game of chicken, as I like to refer to this as, someone's got to make a move. Otherwise, you're both going to crash into each other. So someone's got to swerve out the way or someone's got to keep going. And I feel like Lamar has to make a decision best for Lamar. And I think that if he is going to go ahead and even if, let's play hypothetical, like even if a team were to go ahead and say, we're going to pay Lamar X amount of money and the Baltimore Ravens match it, do you even want to be in that situation at this point? They've already kind of shown you like how they feel about you with how they maneuvered about you. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. at this point, he needs to just make a decision for his future and not worry about being the team guy, not worrying about being a locker room guy, not worry about this person's opinion, that person's opinion. And I think that Lamar is kind of like at that point. And I think he kind of maneuvers with that mentality regardless. And I just want to see him get paid and I want to see him do what's best for him regardless of what that looks like. And that's really what it comes down to for me at this point.
Pay the man. Pay the man. That's it. It's simple. All right, next tweet. Our next tweet comes from King James, and I'm talking about LeBron James. So if you saw on Saturday night, Steph Curry cooked up another incredible performance, right? Hence why the King tweeted the chef emoji on Saturday. So Curry led the Warriors to a 125-116 win over the Bucks. Curry actually scored 22 points in just the fourth quarter and overtime alone, right? He ended the game with 36 points. But it was after sinking a three with 19 seconds left to tie the game, Curry blocked Drew Holiday's go-ahead layup on the other end to send the game into overtime. And then, of course, the rest was history. But, Ashley, let me start with you first. How are Curry and the Warriors looking right now?
They're looking good. Listen, pulling up the standings right now in the West, I mean, they're six, so they're bottom. They're making that playoff run by the skin of their teeth. But I think that the West right now, especially with Ja Morant and the Grizzlies kind of, you know, dealing with things, they've been able to stay afloat a little bit without him. They've won two in a row so far. The Clippers are kind of, you know, moving and grooving. You're going to have to keep an eye out on Phoenix to see if they stay at four, especially with Kevin Durant being out of the picture. But I think that the Warriors are in a good spot as long as they can stay within that playoff contention. Now, it's going to be interesting because I believe if the playoffs were to happen, I believe one would play the winner of the play-in, which is 9-10 winner. So I think the Grizzlies would actually play Memphis if it came down to it. If this were to go ahead and, I'm sorry, the Warriors would play Grizzlies if this came, I believe. The play-in kind of throws off the whole play-in, the order of things. But listen, I think that as long as they can keep moving like this and not have any stupid games. When I say stupid games, win your home games.
Yeah, right.
Win at home. You know, Chase Center is supposed to be the area where nobody can beat you. Keep it that way, especially with this remaining games. Things get a little bit closer, a little bit harder getting to the playoffs. Sometimes teams let their foot off the gas, which allows other teams who have the momentum in their corner to kind of finagle their way in there. And the Warriors have to be just that. So, but they're looking good. Steph Curry is a beast, though. So
I mean, this has been a story all year. They've been up and down all year. Steph playing, Steph's not playing. They win a couple, they lose a couple. I think they're playing with house money. They know they're playing with house money. They won it. No one expected them to win again. So for them, like, anything is probably an over achievement for them. Like, Steph Curry, if he can get this team in a good spot and actually be competitive in the playoffs, it just adds to his legacy. It adds to Steve Kerr's legacy. And if they do play against the Grizzlies in the playoffs, that would be interesting because of the banter between the two teams. That would be legendary. That would probably be the series to watch in the first round. So they've been looking the same way all year, up and down, up and down, up and down. I don't have high expectations for the Warriors. They've been messy all year.
Yeah. I think that if the Warriors can stay within playoff contention and avoid the play-in, this is a team that can flip that switch. You know, last season, a lot of people counted the Warriors out. A lot of people said that the Warriors weren't going to go ahead and make any noise, that the Warriors were washed, that championship window closed. And what happened? They won the chip. Yep. So I think that the Warriors are a team that can flip that switch the minute the playoffs come around. They've been rocky. It's been up and down. They've lost games they should have won. Yep. They've won games that you thought they were going to lose. But I think that they have championship DNA, and you can never go ahead and count that out when push comes to shove. Hopefully they can go ahead and get Andrew Wiggins back. I know that he's been dealing with some personal issues off the court regarding his family. Wish him the very best, but having him in the mix would definitely go ahead and help this team, which wherever they fall within the playoffs and however a deep of a run they make, having all hands on deck would be beneficial. So wishing him the best, hopefully he can return to the team as soon as possible.
Definitely. I'd say this though, one thing that does concern me, the Warriors on the road right now, they're actually 7-26.
Yeah, they're a terrible road team right now.
Yeah, they got to figure that out. They're 7-26 on the road. So that's obviously something they'd want to address.
Which is another reason why I said you got to win all those home games because you guys have been shaky on the road.
Yeah, for sure. No, that was a great point there. But all right, let's move on. So we got a tweet from the NFL. So on Friday of last week, there was another big trade made, right? The Bears acquired wide receiver DJ Moore, a 2023 the number 9 overall pick, right? Because they had traded what I'm about to mention, the 2023 second round pick and a 2024 first round pick and a 2025 second round pick, all again for the first pick of the NFL, this year's NFL draft. So, guys, I wanted to ask you, and I'll start with you, Brandon, who won this trade?
We're not going to know who won this trade until football begins, right? Like, and it may take 2 years. It could take 3 years to figure it out. What I do know is the Chicago Bears are now in position. There's a lot of talk. Even today I was watching people on different networks talk about, you know, why would the Bears keep Justin Fields? You know, you have all these other quarterbacks, great quarterbacks, that probably have a better upside, more significant upside. That's bullshit. That's baloney. The Bears are in position. Justin Fields coming out, he can make all the throws. His only – one of his biggest knocks coming out of Ohio State was that sometimes he does – he's like he overthinks it, right? He's in there too much, you know, watching film too much, working out too much, right? Mm-hmm. That's the type of guy you want on your team. I'd rather have a guy up there that's, you know, always on 100, and then I have to bring him down a little bit, slow him down a little bit, then bring a guy that's like, yo, you got to show up. You got to be on time, or can we stay after practice? Can we come a little early? You know, hey, we just missed five throws. Can we get those, you know, in our walkthrough and makeup? Like, I think Justin Fields and the Chicago Bears are in position to do something special. Aaron Rodgers more than likely is going to be out. You still have Kirk Cousins, but I don't know if anybody's scared of Kirk Cousins. I mean, hell, you can, you know, they're giving up 30, 40 points a damn game, right? Yeah. And you got the Detroit Lions. Going to be interesting to see what the Detroit Lions do, but the Chicago Bears, no excuse now, right? You have everything you need. I love what they're doing on offense. I think they just signed a few dudes on defense, or committed to a few dudes on defense. They're in position to get it done. And in division, you know, the way I'm looking at it is wide open.
I think at first glance, the Bears won. I mean, they got a really good receiver for their franchise guy, Justin Fields. I think that they have a nice amount of picks at their disposal to make some noise with. I think that it's up to the Bears to not shoot the Bears in the foot. I think that we've kind of seen this story with Chicago before. They somehow find a way to screw themselves out of a good opportunity, a good situation, rather. I think they have to go ahead and pay close attention to that offensive line, get their quarterback some protection so he's not taking so many hits, so that he can actually do something with the offensive weapons that he got via this trade that exist already, and that hopefully that they continue to build around him. But I think that if they can do that, I think first glance, the Bears won. But like Brandon said, only time will tell. And this is Chicago. So
yeah,
the track record's not great.
Yeah, I know. I mean, they need to establish an identity. You know, I mean, they need to be able to run the ball. You got to play good defense. And I say that, and it sounds cliche, Corey, but I'm saying that because you're playing in Chicago. Even that field, the freaking turf is terrible. It's like thick.
Yeah.
You know, freaking gets you get in November, December. Bro, I played in a game that was 13 below.
Oh, no. Nah. That sounds like Chicago.
Come on, man.
Sheesh. All right. So, look, now we got our Fact or Foolish segment. So, moving on.
Ooh.
Remember, this is where I'll read a statement, and then Ashley and Brandon have to determine whether it's fact or foolish and give their explanation why. So, our first one, guys. Miami Dolphins will have the best secondary in the NFL next season. Fact or foolish?
Fact. I'm going to go fact here. I think this is if Jalen comes in, and Ashley talked about this earlier, it's like when you get out of a situation that you probably weren't happy in and you get to a situation that you prayed for and you're excited about, you know, you're going to take things to a whole nother level. I think this could potentially be Jalen Ramsey's best ball. I mean, he's going into, what, year eight, year nine? Like, the game is slowed down for him. He's able to recognize splits and then different route combinations. So not only can he still move and still do it, but the way he processes things is much faster than anybody else on the field. So I think if Jalen comes in and does what he's supposed to do, this will be the best secondary in the NFL.
Yeah, I agree. I think that Jalen's going to – it starts and ends with Jalen Ramsey, depending how he comes in. And again, going back to my point, I think that when you leave a situation you're not happy in, for whatever reason that may be, we don't know that. I'm not going to speculate about that. But when you leave a situation you're not happy and you go to a situation that you – you know, feel that happiness, you feel appreciated for your skill set and things like that, it does something to you. And as a player, it does something to you. And I think that, you know, he's going to want to prove that there was a reason I wanted to come here. And you're going to see that unfold in practice, in games, and you're going to see that trickle down into other aspects of the team. And I think it starts and ends with Brandon, with Jalen.
And Corey, just to give you a little bit more, right, like I just looked up the best secondaries, right? Mm-hmm. Right now they have the Baltimore Ravens at one. You got Marcus Peters, who's coming back. He was dealing with injury. Kyle Fuller's coming back. Kyle Fuller's inside playing nickel now. So you have a few other guys. Marcus Williams. Yeah. Remember, Marcus Williams was with the Saints.
Yeah.
He's a really good safety. Tampa Bay, they're sitting at two. Cleveland Browns. I don't know why they got the Cleveland Browns up there. No one really scares me here. The Green Bay Packers, Stokes, Jair Alexander. Yeah, and then you got the Miami Dolphins at five. Jalen Ramsey's that special. You insert Jalen Ramsey, they go from 5 to 1. That's impressive.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Yes. No. Again, looking forward to watching the Dolphins play next year. All right. Next one. The Chicago Bears will win 10 plus games next season. Fact or foolish?
Not only is it. Ooh, jeez. The Chicago Bears, 10 wins. Ah! Could they be this year's Detroit Lions, Jacksonville Jaguars, even the Philadelphia Eagles? Nobody thought the Eagles would be this hot. I'm going to say Justin Fields and those guys. Fact. The Chicago Bears win 10 plus games this year. That's fact.
Sheesh. Ashley, what you think?
I'm going foolish just because it's Chicago. And I don't trust
them. Oh, so, man. Well, listen, they definitely made an upgrade to their wide receiving court. And so now DJ Moore will be with Chase Claypool and Darnell Mooney. So
you got to think about this division, bro. Yeah. It's like Tom Brady in the AFC East, right? For so many years, 20 years. They ran that division, you know. Same thing with Aaron Rodgers, 19 years, ran the NFC North.
Yeah.
You take Aaron Rodgers out, it's wide open. The Detroit Lions, they'll be tough. Minnesota, they'll be tough. But, man, it's wide open. I really like Justin Fields.
Yeah.
I really like Justin Fields.
I like that they're building, you know, an offense around him now.
Right. Like we'll see this year. We know what he can do. On the ground in the NFL. I know he can throw and run. We've seen that in college, but now you got to prove it when you make it to the NFL. So let's see what he does with these wide receivers. It's not going to be too many excuses.
Yeah.
With that, if he comes out and he can be a Jalen Hurts, sometimes, you know, look, we might go 200-300 yards on the ground. Sometimes we may throw for 300-400, you know, because we got two wide receivers that can go. And then also, I'm going to open it up for everyone. So if he can do that, this could be a very scary team. This could be that one team that, you know, there's always that dark horse.
Mm-hmm.
There's always one. Could be the Chicago Bears. I do know this. Miss McCaskey, she's pushing 100.
Mm.
And, bro, when I tell you she has it all.
Yeah.
She's fiery. She's competitive. She wants to win now. And I feel like part of this is part of the reason why the Chicago Bears have stunk for some time now. And it's not stunk. It's the Chicago Bears. They should be contenders every single year, right? But it's because you have George McCaskey, who's running the show there, and every day he wakes up, and the only thing he thinks about is, I want my mom to hoist the Lombardi Trophy one more time.
Yeah.
That's what he thinks about. I was there for 3 years, man, sitting there in the cafeteria with him at the table, talking to him about these things. She comes in, little old Miss McCaskey, brilliant, bright. She knows everyone's name in the building. And I'm telling you, if you lose a game, you get on a plane, you're going to see her. She's fiery, face red, not happy, upset. So I think they could get it done this year, man. Not Super Bowl, but 10 plus, I like it.
We want the Monsters of the Midway back. Let's do it.
That ain't happening. That ain't happening. It's a wrap. Monster of the Midway, that's the defense.
We need good play on both ends.
There we go.
All right, so moving on. Now, in honor of the Oscars last night, we got a movie topic. So, Remember the Titans is the best football movie of all time. Fact or foolish?
It's fact. I mean, right next to that is probably Any Given Sunday, and then probably next to that is The Longest Yard. Mm-hmm. Like, those round out the top three. But Remember the Titans is
you missed
top
the,
tier.
You
the
missed
greatest
the
football
one.
Movie of all time.
Oh, so we going foolish, huh, Brandon?
It's foolish, and not only is it foolish, not only is it foolish, she didn't even, like, mention my number one, not even her top three.
Oh, wow.
1993. How old were you guys in 1993? Do y'all not remember the movie The Program? That was the greatest football movie. You never seen The Program? Oh, my goodness.
I don't even know if I even know what The Program is. The Program?
Oh, man. Halle Berry was in this movie. Omar Epps is in this movie. If you haven't watched The Program, go watch The Program. It's the greatest football movie ever.
Oh, my goodness.
The Program, bro.
I'm surprised y'all left out Gridiron Gang.
When were
Gang.
You born?
I like Gridiron Gang.
Gridiron Gang? Yeah, top three, though?
The Gridiron Gang was a good one.
No, Gridiron Gang is not top three.
I don't even
Gang
know
was,
the Gridiron
Gridiron Gang,
Gang
was inspirational. No.
It was inspirational, but, like, it wasn't top three. Top three is definitely Remember the Titans, Any Given Sunday.
The Replacements?
You can make
the
an
little
argument.
The Little Giants was two.
You can make an argument, but The Longest Yard was a great, great
no,
football
no,
movie.
No, The Longest Yard is a classic.
And then what about Rudy? What about Rudy?
I know, right? I'm a Golden
The Program,
Domer,
Rudy.
We Are
Rudy.
Marshall was really good, too, though.
That one's a little sad.
It's sad, but it was a really good movie. We Are Marshall is a good movie. I'm missing, there's one. Oh, The Blind Side was a good movie,
oh, that was
too.
A good one. Yeah,
about
that was
Michael
a good
Orr.
One.
That was
yeah,
a good
yeah,
movie.
Blind Side was good.
Wow.
Yeah.
When were you born, Corey?
96. Yeah, I'm a youngin', man.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm a youngin'.
Jeez.
Yo. All right, so let's move on to the next one, though, guys. We'll move into the NBA now. Jaren Jackson Jr. will win Defensive Player of the Year this year. Fact or foolish?
Yeah. I mean, he's in the mix. I got to look up who else is in the standings right now. But
so actually right now, Brooke Lopez, I believe,
fact,
is in the league.
Fact, because no one else is playing defense right now. The
yeah,
NBA
Brooke
season,
Lopez is killing it on
the
board.
The
though.
NBA season hasn't even started yet. It's about to start here in 2 weeks. No one plays defense in January and February and March. It's starting now. So this kid came out. He took advantage of the opportunity. Like, he played it well.
Yeah. Well, I think Jaren Jackson is actually leading in the odds right now. Brooke Lopez is now behind him. I mean, out of the three of them, you have Jaren Jackson, Brooke Lopez, Bam Adebayo. Bam won't win it because the Heat are struggling, and also playing in Miami, like, he's had better seasons where he should have won DPOY and didn't because, I don't know, the Miami market, I'm not quite sure. Maybe they don't have that many national games, doesn't get the recognition. I'm not quite sure what the issue is there. But I think that between Brooke Lopez and Jaren Jackson, I don't know. These last few games are going to be telling because they go back and forth in those standings. Brooke Lopez is a beast, but Jaren Jackson can do some things defensively that's pretty hard to make an argument. It's definitely between the two of them. It's either one of their awards to lose. It's going to fluctuate back and forth these next few games for sure.
Question for you, Ashley. How many more games roughly are there in the NBA regular season?
I don't know, like 15 maybe?
15 games. So what you just said is
less than 15?
Things are still up.
For teams that are in the running for the playoffs, yeah. They're going to be going back and forth a lot. A lot of teams that are – if you're second in the standings, you're going to try to push for that final top spot if you can get it. If you're in the fourth spot, you're going to be trying to push for that third. Teams that are close enough to go ahead and make that –
we're talking about defensive player of the year.
But they're part of the whole team that's –
correct.
That, right.
The reason why I brought that up is because of the MVP discussion, right? Like, you got your boy, Joker, who you love. He's on a three-game skid, losing streak. And then you got Embiid, who's now leading in points per game, and he's just heating up. So with 15, 16 games left, could we see Joel Embiid become the favorite?
No. I mean, it's hard to that's different than DPOY. I mean, Brooke Lopez right now is part of the number one team in the East right now. So depending on what happens with the Grizzlies, they're third in the West. Now, granted, DPOY technically is an individual award, but as we've seen, your team plays a factor in whether or not you win that award, where they're in the standings. But, I mean, it's very hard to compete with what Jokic is doing. I think he just the other night against I'm drawing a blank on who they played. I want to say it was the Grizzlies that they played. But, I mean, he had 35, 20, and, like, 12. Like, an insane stat, 20 rebounds. Now, granted, they lost. But MVP technically is an individual award. We can have that conversation and that discussion again. But
they lost to the Nets.
They lost to the Nets. Okay.
They lost to the Spurs. They lost to the
Bulls.
But
MVP, they're still top. They're still number one in the West. And they've been number one in the West the entire year. They have not slid once.
Regular season award, 15 games left. Corey, we'll see what happens.
We shall see. All right, I got another one for you guys. The Kings are the hottest team in the NBA right now. Fact or foolish?
Fact.
Yeah, they're pretty hot. I learned that the hard way when we had to play them. But, I mean, yeah, I mean, nobody really thought that the Kings were going to be making noise like this. I mean, 40-win season with still games left to play is very impressive. You know, for a team that was not expected to make any noise, they're second in the West. Now, granted, the West is a little bit in disarray for a multitude of reasons, but they've been in contention for, I want to say, most of the season. So that's very impressive for a team that, like I said, was not expected to do much. They've won more at home than they've lost. They have a decent away record, 19-13 so far. I mean, in the conference, they're 27-14, which is very impressive. I mean, this is a team that if I'm lucky, I'm happy the Knicks aren't in the West, because if this is a team that you got in the first round, I don't know, they might upset your favorite team depending on what that matchup is. They got a vibe over there.
What's the criteria? Like, how many games determines, like, get you in that conversation of, okay, we're hot, right? Because if we're looking at the last six, you know who's the hottest team in the NBA?
Oh.
The Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah.
You might have a point Nets there. And beating teams like the Celtics. Look at her face. Beating teams like the Nuggets. The Brooklyn Nets. Look at her face.
They are looking good.
You can't. No, what's the criteria? Good. Let me know what the criteria is when we say the hottest team right now, okay? Is that 10 games? Is that 15 games? Because if you look at it, the last six, the Brooklyn Nets are in position.
Yeah.
So this
nobody's scared of playing the Nets in the playoffs, I'll tell you that much. Nobody. Yeah. Nobody. The Ashley. Regular season will mean nothing in 4 weeks from now. It means nothing. Nobody fears them. They will get washed by any team in the Eastern Conference in a 7-game series. Let's be for real.
Well, look.
Now, the Kings, depending on the matchup, now, I don't know if they come out of the first round, but they will definitely exhaust whatever team that they have to play in the first round. I'll say that much.
We'll see tonight.
I don't know if they come. Now, anything is possible. Matt, listen.
Anybody,
styles make fights. Matt
Pelicans.
Makes, listen, depending on who they get in that first round, they may come out, but I'm leaning more on the side that they don't come out, but they give a team a very hard time.
Look, they beat the Kings beat the Suns without KD. They beat the Knicks and Pelicans without Zion. Come on. They looking good, though, but they ain't really playing nobody the last couple games.
Well, hey, look, I tell you who teams need to look out for in the playoffs, at least on the Eastern side. Next statement, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are the best superstar duo in the NBA. Fact or foolish?
Best superstar duo in the NBA?
And not scoring duo. I'm talking about complete superstar duo. Are Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown
the best superstar duo in the NBA? I only got to see Devin Booker and KD for one game, so I guess, okay.
Foolish. Luka,
AD,
Kyrie.
No. Luka and Kyrie, no.
Why not?
Over Jason Tatum and Jaylen
Brown?
Yes,
I'll take Luka and Kyrie over Jason and Jaylen all day. Absolutely.
Okay. 100%. I wouldn't, but.
So it's foolish for me.
So foolish for Brandon. We going fact for you, Ashley?
I mean, I'm trying to think of all the duos. I think they're probably one of the most deadly tandems in the NBA. Are they the most dangerous? I don't know. I think that the issue is, for me, the issue is I never see them on the same page when it counts in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. It's always one's hot, one's kind of hot, or not hot at all. You look at that series against the Warriors, Jaylen Brown was hot, but right. Jason Tatum went missing.
Yeah.
Look at the series against the Nets, Jason Tatum was super hot, Jaylen Brown was okay. I think in order to be the hottest, you need to be the hottest when it means the most also. But if you ask me right now, regular season, I don't know who else I would put above them right now. So I'll say fact, but I still need to see it when it counts, when it means the most. So
that's fair. That's fair.
Foolish. What else is going on in sports? Like, what's going to happen? Has Aaron Rodgers made his announcement yet?
Well, I'll tell you what. I actually got some breaking news for you guys. Jimmy Garoppolo is signing with the Raiders. Las Vegas Raiders.
Ah,
yes, yes. And details are saying it's going to be 3 years, $67.5 million. I got to get y'all thoughts on that. What y'all thinking?
This makes sense. Jimmy G, he knows Josh McDaniels' system. Remember, Josh McDaniels back in 2010 becomes one of the youngest head coaches in the history of the National Football League. Becomes the head coach of the Denver Broncos. Denver Broncos have number one scoring offense, number one total offense that year, or coming out of that year. What does he do? He goes and try to get his guy, Matt Castle. He goes and get Matt Castle. You have a young Jay Cutler who just threw for 3,500 yards and 20-something touchdowns, promising career, and you say, you know what? That's not my guy. You got to understand how these guys think. They're system guys. They're not players. They're not player guys, right? Player guys is like, you know what? These guys are going to make me better. They're going to make me right. No, Josh McDaniels is little boy wonder, super genius, right? Scheme it up. Do what I say, right? Jimmy Garoppolo is going to do that for him. So this makes a lot of sense. I think this also puts more pressure on Aaron Rodgers too, right? Because what other team out there made sense for Aaron Rodgers? I mean, maybe the Raiders only made sense because of his boy.
Yeah, Davante Adams.
Davante Adams. But I like this for Jimmy G. I like this for Josh McDaniels. Aaron Rodgers, it's either it's going to be Green Bay or the Jets.
Yeah. Or what are retirement. Your thoughts, Ashley? What are your initial reactions?
Or retirement.
I like it. The Italian Stallion, Sin City. I think he'll do well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's. I feel like it's an ideal situation. I think that they – listen, he has Davante Adams on his side.
Right,
so
yeah.
Jimmy G is one lucky guy, man. He keeps going – he keeps finding himself in these situations where he's got talent and he doesn't have to do too much to go ahead and win some games. I think it will be the same in Vegas. Other news is Miami's giving former Jets QB Mike White a 2-year deal worth up to $16 million.
Interesting.
Wow.
Interesting. Mike White coming back home, huh? Okay.
That's interesting. I mean, listen, Tua, we speak about it often. A lot of concerns there with how healthy he can stay for their season. And, you know, offensively, their season requires a quarterback who can go ahead and win games and can be available to win games. Now, this is not to say that people are wishing bad things against Tua, but you just kind of have to look at the track record and brace yourself and prepare yourself. You have Jalen Ramsey now on the defense. On the other side of the ball, defensively, you have a stacked offense. You can't go ahead and afford to lose games because you didn't go ahead and secure a backup plan in case plan A doesn't go the way you want it to. So I think this is a good move.
Well, listen, when you're a contender, the most important position is the backup quarterback position. So I'm with Ashley here. This is a big move, another big move for the Miami Dolphins. If Mike White can bring that magic from New York to Miami, and if he gets that opportunity and he inserts that magic, this is going to make the general manager, is it Brian Greer, I believe his name is, it's going to make him look really good. He might be the damn general manager of the year or personnel guy of the year, whatever that award is. I mean, they've been doing this for 2-3 years in a row, making some really sound decisions in the offseason, making some big moves. I mean, even from the head coaching position, who thought Mike Coach McDaniels, is it McDaniels? Mm-hmm. Who thought Coach McDaniels would be a guy to come in and have such a huge impact that way, right? And then you go get Tyreek Hill. That came out of nowhere. Jalen Ramsey and even Mike. Like, Mike, because that's the biggest question right now is, what are they going to do if Tua goes down? What are they going to do in this draft? Will they draft a quarterback? Will they trade for a quarterback? They came out. They, you know, committed to his fifth-year option, so they're riding with Tua. But they know that Tua could go down. Like, this is some serious stuff that he's dealing with when it comes to these concussions and head injuries. And now you have Mike. So this is a big move for a team that's a contender.
Yeah. No, big moves, big updates here to end our show. Will Aaron Rodgers make a decision by tomorrow. Who knows? We shall see. But that's it. That's all we got for you guys today. Be sure to watch us again tomorrow on Paper Route. All right?
Smooth, Corey.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.